Good morning. Today is Sunday, September 7th, 2018. And this week we'll continue with part two on the subject of holy boldness. Last week, Larry began by saying the effort is to establish a biblical clarity about the believer's holy boldness. It seems like everybody has a song or a psalm about what the believer's boldness should look like. We'll start in 1 John 4. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, the words that we may have mean in itself or as a consequence. Boldness, then, is the consequence of us knowing and believing God's love for us and in us. What a great, wonderful scripture 1 John 4:16 has turned out to be for us, I tell you. It all comes back to knowing and believing God's love in us and, of course, for us. Well, his divine love casts out fear. Having a clarity on boldness should help us understand more about how the Spirit of God functions within us when agape love casts out fear. Holy boldness is not a senses personality trait. It is acting by the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy boldness is our response to an urgent conviction. Now, without an urgent conviction, there would be nothing much to respond to. Likewise, without boldness or without that cheerful courage, as we saw last week, we would shrink back in our urgent convictions. So we see immediately it takes a balanced passion between our love of the truth and our love for God and our neighbors. Remember in Acts 4 that Larry read last week, it said the ruler saw the boldness of Peter and John. Peter and John weren't strutting around with their heads stretched out and their chests puffed up, nor were they acting like the religious leaders they were standing in front of, whose smug and privileged attitudes filled the air. No, their boldness was undeniably noticed through the substance of their speaking. And who did their boldness remind the rulers of?
Jesus.
Reminded them of Jesus. Remember, the record said that the rulers marveled and took note that Peter and John had been with Jesus. It is impossible to come someone you are not. You know, you see movies where people steal someone's identity. They never get away with it. Somewhere along the way, they are found out. Well, it is impossible to become someone you are not. Peter, think of him. He was afraid on the night that the Lord Jesus was taken. And the bonds of his fear caused him to shy away. There he was sneaking around, peeking through trees, and trying to watch from a safe distance what was going on with Jesus. He was paralyzed by fear, even to the point that he outright lied about his relationship with Jesus. Yet after Pentecost, when he stood up to speak, he spoke freely and plainly, to the result of 3,000 souls receiving the word and getting born again that day. Then in chapter 4 that we covered last week, about 5,000 folks heard the word and believed the word that he spoke that day. So receiving the gift of Holy Spirit is the ingredient that makes it possible to actually become someone we were not. That gift takes you from who you were to who you are. It is a miraculous gift, certainly, in every sense of the word. So it is not the actual act of speaking that is the boldness, but the substance of what is spoken. So we are the children of substance because the scriptures say God gives us the all truth. We have the all truth. People do sham boldness. Definitely. I'm sure we have all put on a bold facade in the face of fear at some point in our lives. But holy boldness, issuing from God's love, is there on the inside. It is the consequence of us dwelling in God and God in us. And it is for sure that the devil holds no regard for the charade of boldness. And believe me, he knows well what that looks like. After all, isn't that what he is? A counterfeit of boldness when he gets in our face and roars like a lion? Absolutely. But then, even with that roar, at the name of Jesus Christ, he has to turn tail and run. But it is not so for us. 2 Timothy 1:7, great verse, tells us, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The word fear here in this verse denotes fearfulness, cowardice, or timidity. So quite the contrary, God gave us power, ability, and it resides in us by nature. It is inherent power residing within us by way of the gift of Holy Spirit. When speaking of the dunamis, or the power of God, it is speaking of that resurrection power. It's power for instructing, power for reforming, elevating, and calming the soul. And not only our own souls, and that should be the first, but not only our own, so that we can be the best in love for our Heavenly Father. Remember, dwelling in Him and He in us. But also for the souls of our neighbors whom we are to love. We are just stifled in our service to God if we are not walking in that power. God gave us agape love, He gave us power, and God gave us a sound mind. And that's a mind, sound mind is a mind that is principled to moderation and self-control. So, ultimately, we have everything inside we need to disciple ourselves. Over the years, I have worked with resumes and the interviewing processes. And one sought-after intrinsic value was the ability to work unsupervised. Intrinsic indicates that the quality is in that person. It comes from within them. It's not a learned skill. So an intrinsic value is the fundamental nature or makeup of a person, of an individual. So the gift of Holy Spirit is full of intrinsic attributes and characteristics that are there to transform our primary being to become someone we have not been before. Intrinsic values are crucial for moral judgments. These internal values that are within us, that's what gives us the motivation to do the things we should do. They open the way for fearless love and bold service for our Lord to the glory of our Heavenly Father. At the new birth, we begin transforming our lives in our renewed minds by building upon these God-given values. We are free of the mold the devil would want to squeeze us into. We have burst loose from that. No matter what we were at the new birth, we became love, we became fearless, we became bold. Love, power, and sound mind are the factory settings at the new birth. Holy boldness cannot be isolated because it is not one-dimensional. And that's what makes putting all this together so wonderful. Just as all the other aspects of the Holy Spirit, every one of them is four-dimensional. They have length, they have breadth, they have height, and that unseen measurement of depth. There is always much more to these words than looking up a definition, because it has to be seen through the filter of God's eternal, unfailing love, which never ends. Boldness does not stand alone. If it did, it would be a testimony to our personal pride of thinking we are something extraordinary, because we have so disciplined ourselves to become this very diligent, effective person. There is personal disciplines that make people very adept and very strong. But those things can really lead us to lose sight of our relationship with God to the point that we become self-deficient, self-sufficient. You think of the scriptures that relate to pride. But, you know, holy boldness is tempered by love, and it is directed by the truth of the scriptures. There is no substitute for holy boldness, where we trust not in our own selves, but in God, in Christ, in us. Worldly boldness can appear opinionated. It can appear brash, even rude. But holy boldness pursues the truth, speaking the truth in love, because only the truth is what works to destroy lies and errors and speaks what is right. Worldly boldness ignores wisdom and can be pushy and confrontational. Worldly boldness can overstep personal boundaries of others. It can accept a dare just to prove a point that they can do what they have been dared to do. You know, there's no personal profit in any of those things. The book of Proverbs often equates brashness with folly. Proverbs 13:16, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. And speaking of those who speak with plainness and clearness, might be perceived bold in their speech. But when the fool speaks, it is obvious that his bold manner is paper thin. And typically, what he's saying doesn't even make sense when you take a moment to think about it. It just doesn't ever pan out. And in Proverbs 28:1, it says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Interesting, it says the righteous are bold as a lion. And speaking of intrinsic values, a lion is what? Bold. It is, boldness is in the lion. You never see them running on National Geographic. They're running towards something. They're never running away. So the boldness is in the lion. And the comparison in this verse is that the righteous, and that's us, are bold as a lion. That is saying that the boldness in the righteous is at home. The boldness in the lion is at home. It lives there. And it's the same with the boldness of the righteous. Boldness in the righteous, it lives there. We have that boldness. We don't talk about being bold and then withhold good from them to whom it is due. Our holy boldness is motivated by our passion for the things of God. Our boldness, intermingled with love and fearlessness, provides light in this day of spiritual darkness. We can't help but speak because we are convinced that coming to know and believing God's love in us will impact our lives in a spiritual manner, as well as the lives of others. That was a great verse last week that Larry closed with, Mark 13:11. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. So our boldness is intrinsic. But we do pray for our speaking to be by the Holy Ghost. It's certainly not a bad idea to pray before we enter situations where we know we will need to speak the truth of God's word that is just really hits that spot, hits that need, and takes care of the situation. As in Acts 4, after Peter and John rehearsed those events with the rulers, the believers they lived among, prayed for more boldness. Even during Paul's imprisonments, he asked the believers for prayer for him to have more boldness. Because, you know, it is typical of the flesh to resist the spirit. So, in that sense, we are very wise to prayerfully pursue boldness for our lives. The bonds of fear no longer keep us from speaking an encouraging word to a stranger, or ministering to a friend in need, or taking on a gospel mission. We have the holy boldness to offer our talents to the churches, to take the lead on areas of interest and needs in our fellowships. You know, it's kind of like, what are we waiting for? Are we waiting for boldness? Knowing and believing God's love in us, which in turn casts out fearfulness, brings our intrinsic holy boldness to the forefront and directly affects our responses in various situations. Knowing and believing in the power of His might, we read the Word, and then our expectations carry us even beyond our natural limits and our natural abilities and comfort zones. We can live at a new level. Think of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's not because of who we are or what we can do, but because of who God is and what He can do in us. It is true that we may not experience some heroic wave of nirvana or some kind of a physical, heroic feeling, but we can step out in faith that the Spirit will provide the measure of boldness necessary for each and every situation we come up against. We'll have a great, blessed week thinking on these things, and we certainly thank you for thinking of us in our travels throughout the next few weeks, and we ask you to please pray for our holy boldness as we embark on these travels. Love you all very much. Bye-bye.